John chapter 20, we're going to go to verse 30 and 31. I'll read those together. Alright, starting on verse 30, let's read it out loud together.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Same thing I've said time and time again. You know, God wrote each book for us on purpose. There was a reason why he wrote it. And right here we find out that he wrote this because he wants us to know that Jesus is his Son. He is the Son of God. He is God in flesh. He is also man in flesh. 100% God, 100% man. Don't take anything away from it. Take anything away from it, and then you take away from our salvation. And once you start touching that, we got big problems. So
yep.
We don't take anything away from that. But we're going to run back. We've been in John chapter number 3 now. We finally made it. We took a little bit on some of the other chapters, and you know, I'm not going to apologize. We're taking more time in the Word of God.
Amen.
So we're going to go John chapter number 3. We read verses 1 and 2 last week, but we're going to reread them. We're going to start in verse number 1. We're going to go down. I'll read it all the way through verse number 5, and then we'll stop and we'll discuss some stuff. All right. John chapter number 3, the Bible says, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to read a little bit more. It's verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We're going to stop there at verse number 8, so 1 through 8. And I'm going to jump back up here. I just jotted down a couple of different notes as I was studying through it. And one of the things that we talked about Nicodemus last week, Nicodemus, does anyone know what Nicodemus was?
Pharisee?
Bam. He was a Pharisee. Does anyone know what a Pharisee was?
Person in the church, an elder.
Very, very close. So, a Pharisee is someone, the best way to make it an easy definition for everyone to understand, is they were people that claimed to believe the Bible. They were people that held positions in church. They were people that you would look at them as, this is the perfect Christian on the outside. Their moral code was so high that they followed their traditions, but they added to the Bible. Okay? But they say, hey, we believe the Bible. And they knew the Bible. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was one that knew the Word of God. Okay? Now, when you take a look at this, that's what a Pharisee is. There's also a group called Sadducees. And I'm not making any jokes tonight. But the Sadducees...
You're sad, you see.
They're sad because they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are two different groups. A lot of people usually try to put the groups together, but they're two different groups. One group said, hey, we believe the Bible. We know the Scriptures. We believe it. The other group said, well, we don't believe in angels. And we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. If you look into it, there's other stuff that they didn't believe in. But those are the main things. We would know them more as of their day. They would have been the liberals or the modernists of their day, their time era. Okay? But it's really interesting because once you put this into picture, you picture Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was probably a good guy. Was probably a great man looking on the outside. He did things right. He wanted to follow what he was taught, But he also added to the Bible. He also added his tradition and said, oh, our traditions have equal weight with the Bible. And it's like, wait a minute, we got problems here. But I just want to kind of go through the background there of how the difference between the Sadducee and the Pharisee. He is a Pharisee. That's what we learn about in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Same came to by Jesus by night. We kind of talked about that. We even talked about verse 3, how Jesus interrupts him and says, hey, you need to know, you got to be born again. Most important thing. Which, while that's on my mind, I'm working. I've been working recently on talking with the supervisor to see if she's saved or not. And I got to talk to her today a little bit. And I believe she is saved. I didn't get an actual testimony, but I believe she is saved, but she might have some work-based salvation thing. So just keep praying that I'd be able to reach her. God gave me the opportunity. But I also met a man today who he grew up in church, got married, had a family. He was about 40, 41 years old, and he took the way that I would say is he took an exit on the highway of holiness, and he hopped off, and he got backslidden. The best sinners are Christians. I got this word for word from his mouth. But the reason I tell you that is, you know, we can reach the people out here. He was 41 years old, and he took back road. And he was in sin for, I want to say, he told me, I think it was around nine years. But God got him out of there, got his life all turned around because he got mixed up with the wrong kind of stuff. He was in drugs, couldn't get out of it, couldn't get a hold on it. But he knew before, from earlier in his life, that, hey, there's a better way than all this. And he, for a long time, he thought that God wouldn't love him the same way. Yet, someone reached him, talked with him, and said, hey, it was a friend who said, I'm not going to give you a job unless you go through an RU. And he got clean. He's been clean 13 years as of today.
All right.
Praise the Lord. He knows that God loves him. But all that to say is we can reach out to everyone out here. It doesn't matter if it's the vilest sinner or if it's the cleanest person.
Yep. 5 years, you know, for me.
And that is awesome. That is a praise out. My sister, she's working and she's on. I believe she's going to be coming up to her year mark here soon. But we can reach anybody. The Word of God doesn't pick and choose who we can reach. And this right here is showing you that Jesus is reaching someone who he had a very high moral code that everyone else would look around and say, he's a great Christian. He should be on his way to heaven. And Jesus said, hey, you're not on your way to heaven. You're not born again. You need to be born again. But so he talks about him in that in verse 3, which is what we covered last week. But going on to verse where it says, verily, verily, in verse number 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I learned something interesting, which I thought this was profound. If it's not profound, you know, just save it away until it is profound. But if you look back in that verse, in verse number 3, look at the word again. Look at the word again. So when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. That word again, when you go back into your Greek, because New Testament was written into the Greek language, Koine Greek. That is what they spoke back then. That's what everyone spoke, so they wrote that. But Koine Greek, the word right there is, I'm going to probably mess up it's pronounced how it's supposed to be pronounced, but it's anothen. That Greek word anothen, when you directly translate it over, it actually means from above. So if you take a look, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's not saying you got to be born, you got to, you know, exactly what Nicodemus asked. Do I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He's like, no, that's not how it works. He's literally telling him you have to be changed from above. Luke chapter 1, verse number 3. Brother Dennis, could you look that verse up for me, please?
Luke what?
Luke 1, verse number 3. Luke 1, verse number 3.
You said changed from?
Changed from above. We're going to get into that. actually just here in a minute. Could you read that, Luke 1:3, if you have that?
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus.
Did you hear from the very first? That phrase right there, from the very first, they take the same Koine Greek word, anothen. So if we were to read that, it should be from above. It would be from above. This was given from above. We must be born again from above. It's not something that we do ourselves. It's something that Christ already did upon the cross of Calvary. We accept it. We believe it. We ask God to come and to live with us. And we get changed. Look at, let's all go to 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That divine nature, from above, it's from God, okay? Here in 2 Peter, that's talking about, it's talking about the divine nature. You go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to be all through the Word of God tonight because I believe this truth that I want to teach everybody, I believe it's something that God wants us all to know. And it was cool because I learned it. So I was like, whoa, this is cool. God's still teaching me. Verse number 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, wait. Oops. Sorry.
1 Corinthians.
Let's go 10 verses down. All right.
Where is it at?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Not 5:17. All right, now that we're all on the same page, you guys beat me there. We're going to go 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, what are the next two words?
New creature.
New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are, what are the next two?
Become new.
Become new. You are literally, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are literally changed. Your nature is changed. You still have your sinful nature because that's what we're born into. But God, what He does is He regenes you. He changes you. When you look at verse number 5 in John chapter 3, verse number 5, going back to our text, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I wanna really hit on this verse tonight, and I've got about 15 minutes, and I'm gonna hit on it. This verse, a lot of people get mixed up. A lot of people go off the deep end. There are doctrines that are not biblically sound, that are not biblically supported, because of this verse. When they look at this verse, they say, okay, except a man be born of water. Oh, water? Well, you know, water. Okay, how can I be born of water? A lot of people will say one of two things. Number one, they'll say, you got a, that's talking about your physical birth. You're born of water because you're in the womb. That's wrong. The Bible does not support that, actually, when you go through this. And number two, you know what number two is?
Baptism.
Baptism. It's one of the two that people usually go with. A lot of times it's more baptism, but sometimes they'll say, oh, well, that's your physical birth, and talk about your spiritual birth. No. Let's take a look. Let's use the Bible to explain the Bible.
Some people believe that is a part of salvation.
Yep, they do.
It
is not a part of salvation. That's actually a lot of the texts. We're going to be running around the Bible and just right now, because we're going to go over that, because I want you guys to be able to pull these references whenever you have it. I remember I went to a door, and this was, you know, I'm still young, but this was in my even younger years. I remember I went to the door, and this was after, I know the Word of God, I can take you around, and I was knocking doors, and I was telling people about Jesus. Well, I got a little prideful in doing it, and we knocked the door, and this lady was all about, you gotta be baptized, otherwise you can't go to heaven. And I was the young college student that, I know my Bible. Oh, let me show you. Okay, needless to say, I spent 30, 40 minutes that I could have been knocking doors and telling people they didn't know about Jesus how Jesus can save them and they can trust him. And instead, I stayed at that door and I went rounds. I didn't win nothing. There was no prize in it.
You were trying to win the argument, not the soul.
Yep. I totally lost sight. You know, preachers lose sight all the time too.
Yep.
It's not just lay people. It's preachers. It's humans in general. You know, and that's why we should be so reliant upon God and saying, God, will you help? Because you're never gonna win someone just by shoving more Bible and being able to prove more of the Bible. Yes, it'll help sometimes, but more often than not, as we need to be prayed up. But I went rounds, and it was not fun because in the end she still believed the way she did, and I was like, oh, oops, I missed out. So I learned that I'm not gonna do that no more. But there's born of water and of the Spirit. That born of water, Jesus is talking about, we're going to use the Bible now, and we're going to actually go through, and we're going to let the Bible explain the Bible. Acts chapter number 10, verse 43. Acts 10:43. Yeah, I got these read a little tiny little words. Alright. 10:43. The Bible says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. They're talking about the prophets, okay? Prophets, this is the New Testament. So if we think about the prophets that they are referring to, who are they referring to? The prophets of the
Old Testament.
Old Testament. They are literally telling people right here, right now, you are to believe the same way that the prophets were telling us. This is the difference. The Old Testament, they were telling you, look to a Messiah. There's going to be a Messiah coming. Look to that Messiah. Now what we say is, look back to the Messiah. You're not looking to the coming Messiah, because he already came, he already died. He's not going to die again. When he comes back, it's not going to be fun time. Okay, it'll be fun time when he's in the clouds, because we're going to meet him in the clouds, those who have received Christ as their Savior. But when he comes back, all jokes are off. It's time for the war. But when they're saying, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, he's talking about the prophets. He's talking about the ones that preach, look to the Messiah. I'm preaching, look back to the Messiah. Okay, it's the same message. It's not a different message. There's a lot of stuff which I'm not going to try and get into tonight. But there's a lot of people that believe, oh, you got saved a different way in the Old Testament, now we get saved a different way in the New. No. It was always about Jesus. It was always pointing. The Old Testament is the revealing of Jesus. The New Testament is the unveiling of Jesus. Because they were always saying Jesus is going to come, and now, hey, Jesus is coming. The veil has been taken off. Okay? But this is the one thing we're looking at. Okay? There was no baptism in the Old Testament. Baptism did not become a thing until we get into the New Testament. You don't hear about this tradition going on. You hear about when you would make a sacrifice, what your sacrifice had to be, how it had to be, depending on what type of sacrifice. You get into the book where everyone says it's the most boring book, Leviticus, but you start learning about the sacrifice, and actually, if you go into it with that mindset, yeah, it could be boring. But if you go into the mindset of, hey, I want God to open things up to me, you will get a treasure trove. Frankincense, what was frankincense used for? Anybody know? One of the three gifts for Jesus. You go back to Leviticus, it talks about frankincense being used for a type of sacrifice that you were supposed to give. And if you go research that, it is awesome just to see. Because
like
God opens...
Frankincense.
Yeah. It was one of the spices that was given to our Lord.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. So Leviticus is not a boring book. But if you go into it with the mindset it's boring, then yeah, you probably won't get anything out of it. But looking at this, there was no baptism in the Old Testament. So therefore, when he's talking about this, when they were saying, hey, you got to look to Jesus back in the Old Testament, did those people that never got baptized go to heaven? Or go to hell in this case? No, that's not wrong. That's not right. He said you'll receive remission of sins. Let's look at another scripture. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 7. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 7. Isaiah 55, 6 through 7. All right. Right here. I'm going to read this.
Heal, son, heal.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you got yours already. I'm almost there.
All right, 55. Look for verse number 6. I'm gonna read 6 and 7. 6 and 7, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. Read this last part of the verse. Let's read it together. For he will abundantly pardon. God says to the sinner that will freely, willingly choose to turn from his sin and turn back to God. God says, I will abundantly pardon. I will above that you deserve. I will pardon you. I will not think about your transgression. You turn back to me. You come back to me. And when you were looking at this, we choose to go back to Christ's way. Christ, when he came in the New Testament, he gives baptism, but he never gives baptism as a requirement for salvation. He gives baptism as, hey, this is what I want you to do because I'm giving you the opportunity to say yes to me as soon as you get saved. As soon as you get saved, you know, if you can remember back when you got saved, you wanted to do a lot for Christ, right? Once you got saved, you said, Lord, you did all that for me. I want to do something for you. God gives you the opportunity to get baptized. He says, you can do this right away. You don't have to wait. You can get baptized right away. You can tell everybody in your local church that you have trusted Christ your Savior. It is that easy. And God gives us that opportunity. He says, hey, I want something that they can do. That they can say, hey, I want to do something for you, Lord, because you did something for me. What can I do for you right away? You can get baptized. God gave you that. Jesus did that on purpose. Revelation 22, 17. Revelation 22, 17. Also talking. Our whole point tonight is talking about how you do not need...
Yeah.
You do not need baptism, 22:17. You do not need baptism as a requirement to get saved. It is just something that God gives us to allow us to say yes to Him. That is literally what it is. It is nothing more. I'll get to that. But 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Wait, water of life freely? Wait a minute. What are we talking about water of life here? You know, if you go through, you'll find out. But the water of life. Remember, Jesus said you have to be born of?
Water.
And of?
Spirit.
Two things you got to be born of. All right? Titus 3:5. We're going to bring all this together. Titus 3:5. You find your 2 Timothy. Next one over Titus before Hebrews. Titus 3:5. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Okay, a work of righteousness would be if we looked at it this way, getting baptized. That would be a work that we do. But it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Those are very interesting forms that they use there. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so when we're talking about you are born of water and born of the Spirit, okay? Two things that Jesus said specifically to Nicodemus. born of water, born of the Spirit. When we're looking at born of water, he that giveth, we read in 22, the water of life freely take of the water of life. The water in this aspect or in this area would be the gospel. You go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Let's see this here in chapter 5, verse 26. All right, chapter 5, verse 26 of Ephesians. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. What are the next three words?
By the word.
The washing of water by the words. By. That word by is a preposition, meaning by, you take the next couple of words there, and it is going to explain what we're talking about here. When it says, by the washing of the water, by the word, you do not get saved without the word of God. You are not going to get saved without the word of God. You're not going to get saved without the word of God. So you get saved by hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
Word of God.
So now we have the Bible explaining to us what Jesus is talking about here. He is talking about being born of the water, being born of the Spirit. Born of the water is this. It's the gospel. It's what it's going out. You're telling people, you're saying Jesus died for you. He's the only way to heaven. That is what he's talking about here. You've got to hear the word of God so that you can be saved. By faith. You're not gonna believe in Jesus if you don't hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word of God. You have to have the word of God. The Spirit. Okay, when it says born of the Spirit, born of the water is the word of God. Okay? Born of the Spirit is God himself and what he's doing to you. Remember when we were reading about becoming new? You're a new creature. You got a divine nature. Remember all those verses we read about earlier? Those are what come into play right here, and they connect with Titus 3:5, where it says, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. When you got saved, after you heard the gospel, after you heard the word of God, and you got saved, God came in and he regened you. He changed you. You are a new creature, as the Bible says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That is the spiritual aspect. That is the spiritual side that Jesus, when he says you got to be born of water, but you also got to be born of the Spirit. You got to first hear the word of God so that you can trust me as your Savior, and then you've got to actually let me change you. So, and it's instantaneously. It's not a long period of time. No, a long period of time, you're talking about sanctification. Sanctification is when you're trying to do right and be better and be closer to God. But when you're first getting saved, those two things are the most important, because you got to hear the word of God so you know Jesus died for me. Okay, I will trust him and nothing else. Jesus plus nothing, Jesus minus nothing. And then you come over to where at that same time, it's almost like simultaneously, where God's in there saying, all right, all you got to do is trust me. Oh, you trust me? Bang. And now you are a new creature. I remember I had a soul winning buddy. We would go out soul winning. And I actually helped him in his class a couple times. He would take a piece of paper. I think I've done this before. But he'd take a piece of paper. He'd write Jesus at the top. Okay? And then he'd flip it over. And he'd write Timothy. You know, yeah. He's my name. Timothy. And he'd write, okay, Timothy, what bad things have you done? Oh, you smoke, you drink, you know, whatever. Okay. What good things has Christ done? Well, he's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's probably the most righteous one. He never sinned. What else?
Lamb of God.
He's the Lamb of God. You know, all he's the Lamb of God that he died for us, but he was perfect. He never did wrong. And what he would do is he'd say, all right, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, what he did, Jesus scribbled out your name, and he wrote Jesus. And he took your whole sheet, your whole rap sheet, we'll call it. And he said, you know, I'm going to give you mine. And he gives us his. That's what happened when we got saved. And that's why you cannot add to salvation. It's Jesus plus nothing, Jesus minus nothing. I'll say that till the day that I draw my last breath. Because it's about Him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about if you get baptized. It doesn't matter how much you think, oh, well, this person has to be baptized. No, there is no such thing as has to be baptized. It is something that Jesus said, you want a way to serve me? You want a way to you know, pretty much to show you're thankful? Go ahead, just get dipped in water and say, hey, I trusted Christ my Savior. I want to live for Him. That's literally all you're doing. But it is not a requirement for salvation. It never becomes a requirement for salvation. We turn to Him. We go with Nicodemus. Sorry, I know I'm running out of time. But we go back with Nicodemus back in these first eight verses that we are reading about. And He says, hey, you need to be born of water, but you also need to be born of spirit. You need to know about me. That's what He's talking about. Being born of water. Hey, me and you are talking right now. Jesus is the Word of God. He is literally giving Him, this is how you can be saved. Born of the Spirit, letting God change him. But God can't do anything in the changing process unless we ask Him. God, He is not a puppet master. And I don't know how many times I've gotten upset when I was in school. People would, I remember one class we had to be in. We had to do these myths, okay? And everybody got one passed around of how the world began. Does anybody want to guess what one I got? Does anyone want to guess? There's all these. There's Greek god and goddesses and all this. You know which one I would put in my spot in front of me? Take a guess. Take a wild guess. And they called this a myth.
John 3:16. I don't know.
Beginning of the world. Genesis chapter 1.
I was thinking in the beginning.
They put it on and they were calling it a myth. And I was so outraged. I just didn't say nothing. I was like, if I say anything right now, I'm going to blow up. And then my teacher knew that, because I always carried my Bible. I tried to wear it. I tried to be different so that I could reach people. And I remember she came back and she's like, oh, well, you already know that one. She got a different one, and I was like, what? But I remember whoever got that one put God, they had some kind of like puppet thing. God is not no puppet master. God does not force you over here or force you over here. No. God says, you can choose. He even told the children of Israel, hey, you serve me for generation, 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 I'll bless you. You don't serve me, you'll be cursed. It was their choice. God's not up there saying, oh, well, I'm choosing this today, and I'm choosing this thing. No. God says, you serve me, I'll bless you. God says, you ask me to save you, I'll save you. No strings attached. No added things. And that's what it is. It's trusting Jesus only. And I don't know, God just really wanted me to go over that. It's not about baptism. It's not about being baptized. Being baptized has nothing to do with your salvation. And He did this for Nicodemus. And that's why He was telling Nicodemus, baptism is nothing. You need to be born of water and of spirit. You need to let God change you, but you also have to hear the Word of God. By faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Well, they kind of look to John the Baptist at this time, because you know he became, you know, for Jesus, Jesus, but he baptized, and they kind of looked to him for as the savior, and what did John the Baptist say? One comes after me.
Yeah.
Yes.
One that comes after me, I'm not worthy to.
But that's what they were doing. I think that's how they kind of.
Nicodemus probably
compared him to John the Baptist. You know what I'm saying?
That is quite possible.
Yeah.
It is.
But Jesus changed all that when you think.
He did. What happened? Something else I was going to leave you. Oh, really quick. I urge everybody, get a chance. Try to memorize a verse of it. In your work, in your walk with God, memorize a verse of this Bible week. It will not hurt you. It will only help you. I even went over one this week because I know last week I was talking about that. But I went over one this week. I learned a new one this week. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. One that I believe is going to be a very, very big help, because there are people that believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Even if it takes you 3 months to memorize one verse, you memorize one verse. Psalm chapter 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Mm-hmm. You don't do it because somebody says to. You do it because you love your Savior. That is where a lot of times the rubber meets the road. When you're doing something because, oh, this person in that church or this person will look down on you. What about God? Don't you want to be able to please God? Memorize His word. He gave it to us. He thinks it's super important. Otherwise, He would not have given it to us.
I know when I was teaching Sunday school for the ladies' class years ago, and I had this lady from a different religion, and she believed that salvation was a part of, being born again, being saved, and I told her, no, that's not true. You don't have to be baptized to be saved,
That's true.
And go to heaven. Well, she didn't understand that. She really was against that. And I told her, look, when Jesus hung on the cross, between the two, he was on the cross. One, he told him that he would see him in heaven. Was he baptized? No. So finally she kind of understood what I was talking about, But she thought, and she really was against it. She thought, no, you have to be baptized to be.
And that reminds me of what you said earlier when you and Miss Sally were talking before Bible study time. That, a lot of times people get that way because they're not studying the Word of God. When you study the Word of God,
that's what they're
showing
at church, though.
Mm-hmm. When you study the Word of God yourself, you study to show thyself approved, working in you, not to be ashamed. You're studying it because you want to know what God is telling you. And as you study, God opens that up, and you're not gonna come up with doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God if you're studying the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that you know our Bible. You know this book. We should know this book better than anything else we do in this life. That is how important this book is and how important it should be.
It's interesting because it says a person will be born of water and the Spirit. It's interesting because when he talks to the woman at the well, he's called the living water. That message. So that was kind of interesting.
True. So let's pray and then we'll be listening. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. I ask that you would just give us Holy Spirit, fill listening ears, Father, but also that whatever you've talked to us tonight about, Father, whether it be a scripture that popped out, Lord, that we would really just sit on it, we meditate, Father, we think about your word, Father. Also, help us to memorize a verse, Father. Maybe not this week, maybe it takes a month, but help us to memorize a new verse, Father, so we can hide your word in our heart. Thank you again for bringing everybody out. I ask that you give them safety going home today. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise for Shirley, and I would like to see Brother Hall and Judy Hall.
Your person.